Many of you know that my parents had started a restaurant business almost 15 years ago. It was a tough beginning, but eventually we built up our clientele. And business was so good that we were actually able to take a family vacation. The first one in probably 4 or 5 years, when we decided to go to Vietnam for a month as a family. The beginning of the trip was exciting, thinking about what it would be like to return to my home country, my roots. We had to transfer through Taipei, and after a few more hours, we finally arrived in Vietnam. We were just getting settled until we received the call. My parents received the call from my aunts the next day. I could hear the silence of my father. I could hear the distress of my mother, and I knew something was wrong. Less than 48 hours after we had left our house, before the house sitters could come, our house had been robbed. My mother's irreplaceable jewelry was taken. My brothers and sisters' designer clothes were gone. Both cars were taken and destroyed. And the house was in shambles. We just had a party before us. They took all the food powder and poured out of the house and poured about 5 liters of oil. Wind was knocked out of our sails. Our vacation seemed to be ruined, and throughout the trip, I kept thinking, why? We worked so hard for these last few years, and this is the first time we have a family vacation. What happens? We go to church, we're good people, but this happens to us. Jesus, you said a father feeds his children fish and bread. Why does it feel like we're eating rocks and snakes right now? What kind of father is it? When we are confronted with greater or lesser evils, we cannot help but wonder in our heart of hearts where God is. We begin to wonder what kind of father he is. If our everyday experience of life, in our everyday experience of life, we encounter evils that seem to have no meaning. They can rip and tear at our faith and the fabric of our lives. And we can be tempted to wonder whether God exists. And if he does exist, we wonder whether he actually even cares. And so we can develop a mentality whereby we need to be in control. We need to take care of the situation because if I don't, nobody will. If I don't take care of myself, nobody can. We develop the heart of a pilot. In Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, we get an interesting interpretation of the predicament that Pontius Pilate is in. Pilate is in his fortress. Imagine this place right here. Speaking to his wife Claudia about Jesus, he's conveying the burden that is on his heart. He knows that if he doesn't acquiesce to the demands of the high priest Caiaphas, that he might start a rebellion. Yet on the other hand, if he kills Jesus, his followers might also start a rebellion. Regardless of who starts the riot, it will be his head on the platter for not repenting. Do you want to know what my truth is, Claudia? I've been putting down rebellions in this royal outpost. The last 11 years. Caesar warned me twice. He swore that the next time would be my blood. That is my truth. You can see the heart manifested in his interactions with Jesus. He's trying to be in control. He believes he's in control of the situation. Trying to act sly with Jews and with Jesus. When Jesus does not respond, he gets angry and tries to reassert his power by claiming to have power over Jesus. Do you not know I have power to release you and power to crucify you? But in reality, the great irony of this situation is that Pilate is not in control at all. The passage reveals that Caesar and the Jewish leaders are in control. He has none. power of control or illusions have vanished to reveal fear and cowardice. If this is the heart of Pilate, look how drastically the heart of Christ is. The one who seems to be in no control at all. The one whose body has been brutally scourged, with flesh rent and ripped, who has just been mocked, wearing a crown with 2-inch thorns digging into his skull. But this one is free. When Pilate threatened him with crucifixion, Jesus was able to look him straight in the eyes and say to him,
worship at his throne forever.
this ending that there's a moment of revelation where I saw the plan of God more clearly. But I can't. Sometimes we do receive insights. But maybe the evils in your life are obscure, like the evils that are in mine. But I don't think that's the point Jesus is trying to convey. He's showing us that having the heart of Pilate, instead of having that type of heart, seeking to grasp after the illusion of control, we can have the heart of Christ grounded in trust. That despite the darkest of nights or the cacophony of discord screeching in our lives, we know that He's painting on a bigger canvas. That He's composing a new song. We know that through His Son, that He was faithful, that He is faithful, and that He will be faithful to us. Instead of seeking control, let us seek freedom through abandon. To abandon ourselves to the Father who redeemed Jesus from the grave and whose love is stronger than death. Stronger than any evil that Satan can muster up. Which of you, if his son asked him for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a serpent?